Good afternoon, West Lib. This is Matt, and you're listening to WGLZ. We're college radio, and we are passionately vocal. Today, I have a very special guest in the studio joining me. Some of you may recognize him, Professor Chris Lee. Professor Lee, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
I'm excited, excited. So I want to start out with your early life. I want to know, where'd you grow up?
Well, that's a big question. A lot of different places. I was born in Boston. I lived outside of Boston until I was approximately two to when I moved outside of Manchester, New Hampshire. And I went to elementary school, through elementary school, up until the seventh grade in Bedford, New Hampshire, at which time in 1975 I moved to Bridgeport, West Virginia, down by Clarksburg, south of Morgantown. Of course, at that time, I-79 is not even an open road, so it was a pretty remote place. And I went to junior high and high school in Bridgeport, West Virginia. So I was there for 8th grade through 12th grade. At that time, you want me to keep going? At that time, I moved to Maryland, where I went to undergrad at Western Maryland College, now known as McDaniel. They thought it was wise to change their name after a couple hundred years, about 10 years ago. I don't know why. But I spent 4 years there. Outside of Baltimore in Westminster, Maryland. From that, I moved back to Clarksburg, West Virginia, where I started working at a TV station, which I did for about 3 months. And then I got a call from the Army saying that I had to go to my first Army school because I was an ROTC cadet when I was in undergrad. And I went and spent the next 8.5 months in Oklahoma at the Officer Advanced Course. I came back from that and went to work at the TV station again in Clarksburg. And I did that for about, let's see, it had been the whole second, basically, semester. It had been half a year of 1985, the first half of the year, or 86, I guess it would have been. And then I moved to Northern Illinois, to DeKalb, Illinois, where I went to graduate school at Northern Illinois University. And I went there because I was able to get a graduate assistantship and get my master's degree, and my job was to teach television news directing as a graduate student. And I did that for 2 years while I finished my master's degree. And frankly, I was planning to join the Army full-time at that. And right before I graduated, I got a certified letter in the mail from the dean of the graduate school at Northern Illinois University. And I thought for sure this letter wasn't going to tell me. I had basically screwed up my credits and wasn't going to graduate. But lo and behold, to my surprise, they were impressed with my work and asked me to become a full-time teacher with them. And that's how I fell into teaching. That was never my plan.
Wow. Okay. So, wow. That's a lot. So whenever you were growing up, what were your interests if it wasn't really teaching? I know you said you were part of the ROTC.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I was very active in Boy Scouts and outdoors, and I carried that outdoor thing to this day. And, you know, I was a wrestler in high school. I enjoyed that. And when I was in undergrad, I basically was kind of drifting around from major to major my first couple of years. I started off as a bio major, then I went to a physics major, and then I went to a history major. And that was by the end of my second year of college, I was, you know, a history major, and I got a letter from our dean of my undergraduate school asking me to come to a meeting. And I got there, and there were 10 friends of mine there that I knew from school. This was a small school, 1,300 people. And they had said, we've hand-selected you, 11 people, to ask you if you'd like to be our first-ever communications graduates. And they said there was only one problem. They didn't have any classes made yet. But if we choose to accept that, they had set each one of us up with a full-year internship at either a TV station or a radio station in Baltimore or Washington, D.C. And I chose yes, and I worked on Evening Magazine in Baltimore, WJZ, for a full year. My junior year, and then when I came back as a senior, they had all the intro classes made for communications, and I took all those and graduated in my four-year stretch.
So how was that going into that program? You said you worked for the magazine, you said?
Yeah, Evening Magazine. Evening Magazine, PM Magazine was the national magazine that had Mary Hart and John Tesh in it, and then there was each city had a thing called Evening Magazine, where they had their own host, and then you would submit your best pieces each week to the National, and the best pieces across the country would get on the National show. And so I did basically freelance audio and did audio for that show for a year. And it was a lot, most of it was remote. And we'd go and film pieces. You know, I remember we did one on like a guy who had his own windmill, own waterfall, was making his own power. Went to a guy who was running a school for models over in the Eastern Shore. Just different types of stories, human interest stories that are all about what's going on in your area.
How was it using the, well, audio? I know audio has changed so much from that time. Would you say, how did you go about collecting that audio and editing that audio, and how did you?
Well, you know, what it was is that the audio at that time, first of all, it was all synced with the video at the time of acquisition. Okay. So the person would have a 3/4-inch portable video tape deck, and basically my job would be get the proper types of mics on all the people, maybe run it through a mixer, and then put it into the video recorder. So it was in sync with the video.
Okay.
And so I really didn't have to do anything on the other end of it because then the editor took over and did the editing. In my downtime in between, when I wasn't out on shoots, I would go into the live production studio, and there was a great guy there who taught me basically everything I knew about directing, showed me how to mark scripts. And so I spent each morning, I didn't have to be there till like 9. But they had live shows that started at 7. I'd get there at 7 and sit in on 2 live shows, and he'd give me a copy of the script, and I'd mark it myself, and he'd use his script, and I'd compare what I did to him. And that's how I kind of learned how to direct.
That's awesome. So how am I going to word this? Did you not really fall in love with that aspect of broadcasting?
Yeah, I do. I've always liked technology. I always made tapes and things like that. And, you know, the reason why I was actually selected as one of their communication majors at Western Maryland College was because I was the film committee chairman. And that only happened because I had a 2-week job when I was like 16 years old at the local movie theater where I learned how to thread 35mm projectors. And when I got to school, undergrad, the first week they have you see all the clubs and organizations, and there was the film club, and I went and talked to the guy who was in charge, who was a senior, who was the only member at the time, and he couldn't believe I knew how to load the projector, so he gave me a trial for a couple of weeks, and then he said, you're going to be the next chair, and you're going to be in charge. And I spent the next 3 years in charge of all the films at the college, because, you know, there was no internet, no downloading. Everything was done as a, you know, an actual film that was shown in an auditorium.
So, wow. So, how did you end up here at West Liberty University?
Well, you know, I was at Northern Illinois University, and I taught there for 2 years, the 87 year and the 88 year into the spring of 89. And my class size, you know, I only had 2 classes. One was TV1, the other was writing for radio and TV. My TV1 class had 100 people in it, and I ran 5 labs of 20 a day, every day. Plus, I had the lecture one day, and then I had my writing for radio and TV class lectured twice a week. So it was a grueling work schedule, absolutely grueling work schedule. And I was just kind of, you know, thinking, I don't know if I want to do this type of schedule forever. This is just, you know, it's terrible. It was grueling. And there were so many things to grade and all that. And so I decided, you know, once again, my kind of thought was, you know, here I got an opportunity. I could join the Army full time. But I have to go to officer advanced course first. But before I did, I put out a couple of resumes. I put one out at Towson State. I put one here at West Liberty, and one at a college outside of Boston. And I got interviewed at Towson State, and I got interviewed here, and this both would have been like in April of 1989. And I didn't hear from either one of them. And so I actually told the Army I was going back to school, and I went back to Oklahoma, and I was at the Army school. I'd been there for 2 months when I got a call from West Liberty saying they wanted me to be here. So I actually went to the commander of the post and quit the school that I was in. And I could do that because my ROTC scholarship was through the National Guard. So I wasn't committed to full-time active duty. And I told the guy, I said, you know, this is my civilian job. It's a part-time job for me in the Guard. I have to take priority. And they let me go. And wow. I left that school and came here in July of 1989. And they had a very small amount of equipment. And what they did was kind of mishmash together. I took it all apart and stacked it in the middle of our old studio in the library. And when I got here in August of 89 to start school, I spent the next year with my classes basically building the television station from scratch. I mean, my students made cables and learned how to put it together from an engineering standpoint at the time. And I remember my first class, I had like seven or eight people in it. And in fact, Joey Klapek, who is on the river every morning in the morning show, was in my very first class, and I taught him radio prod. So I developed a radio station, developed a TV station, actually built both of them, put them together. I obtained the licenses for the radio station and the cable access for the TV station.
So that was going to be my exact next question. I was going to ask, when you came here, what they just had, the trumpet, the newspaper, then?
That was it.
That was it? No, wow.
Yep.
So what gave you the idea to put, first off, was it your idea to put the radio station in here in the Union?
Well, the radio station actually was upstairs in the Union, right where the transmitter is. You're probably familiar with that room upstairs. Well, right next to that room is actually where the radio station booth was.
Oh.
Okay, so that was all there for several years. Then it moved to where the radio station offices are upstairs, and then it moved down here.
Okay.
So it's moved three times in the last 33 years.
Wow. What about the TV recording studio?
Well, the TV station was originally in the bottom of the library, been at the north end, and it was a very small studio. And about 2004, everything was changing over to digital technology, and we were analog, and we were starting to get antiquated. And I went and had a meeting with the president, and I said, you know, we either need to upgrade and go into the new digital world, because what we're going to be teaching is no longer going to be relevant, or we need to just scrap the TV and just concentrate on radio. And I was willing to go either way. And they said, thank you for my time. And then they called me back in the office 2 days later and said, what if we build you a new building and studio from scratch? And I said, that sounds like a fantastic idea to me. And then 2006, we completed the new studios over in the MAC, the Media Arts Center.
It's nice in there too. Like, coming in here, I was never a broadcast student, so I never knew any aspect of the television or radio. And walking in that studio for the first time, I was like, wow, I felt like I was on set at WTOV9 or something.
Yeah, it's the real deal. It's not a toy. It's the real deal. We can teach at a professional level there. And, you know, our students go on and do great things.
For sure. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here on WGLZ.
This is your sign to stop flipping through the stations. Crank up the dial. You are listening to WGLZ, West Liberty's College Radio.
What's up, West Liberty? This is Matt again here on WGLZ. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. I'm still here in the studio with Professor Chris Lee, and we are talking about his early life and how he transitioned into West Liberty and how the part he played in the radio station and the TV studio. So, Chris, I want to talk about more of a personal side of you. So, you came to West Lib. You've lived this luxurious, crazy life and stuff, and I hear so many stories about it. I wanted to know if you had any advice for a student, a first-year student, someone who's not too sure about college, not sure what direction they want to go. I want to know what you would have to say to them.
Well, here's the thing about college. I've always thought, you know, college is an opportunity, and it's something that you need to take advantage of. I know when you come as a freshman, it seems graduation is a long ways away. But, you know, those 4 years go by very quickly. And when they're gone, you don't have a chance to repeat it and do it again. So if you haven't taken full advantage of what you can do when you're there, you're going to have regrets. Because, you know, we can prepare you to move ahead and accelerate through your life at the rate you want to go. If you decide to slide through, yeah, you might make it through, but you may never have a chance to learn the things that you could in college. So I think that it's the biggest thing is you got to take advantage of the opportunity, because it is a great opportunity for you, and it can change your life. You know, I remember when I got out of undergrad, I had some regrets thinking, you know, maybe I should have, you know, stayed a physics major. Maybe I should, you know, worked a little harder. You can never really go back on that. Fortunately for me, with a lot of serendipity, things worked out. But so my biggest piece of advice would take advantage of your opportunities. Get involved. Take advantage. Sure, have a social life. Sure, meet friends, maybe lifelong friends, as I did. But, you know, your academics are so important to your future well-being. So you got to remember what you're doing in college, you're doing for yourself and for no one else.
Absolutely. I totally agree. This is, like you said, time sure does fly. And I know I have a couple of regrets being in college and not going out and doing what I wanted to do. But you know what? It is what it is. I mean, it is what it is. So with your job now, are you content with your job? Are you happy?
I love what I do. I absolutely love teaching. I love students. It's great. I mean, we make live TV shows on the air. We learn about editing. We do 3D graphics animation. Occasionally teach some writing courses. I teach eternal cinema. I teach documentary film, both kind of passions of mine. So I really, really like teaching. I love working with students. I love watching students change from a freshman to a senior. And some people really blossom, and I love seeing where they end up a few years down the road. You know, mine is a teaching field where I have a lot of immediate feedback, where I get to see what my students are doing. You know, I get to see where they are, get to see where they're working. And I get calls from people that were here 20 years ago all the time. And the most interesting thing is now the people that were my early students are in the positions where they're the people who are the managers and hiring people in the industry. I mean, so now I have them calling me at the end of every semester. Who do you got? Who can you send us? You know, we need more people. So that's always very rewarding because the people, you know, immediate gratification, we all like it, and I seem to get it that way. So, yeah, it's great. It's a great job. And how can you complain about having your summers off? Because, like I said, I'm an outdoorsman. I like to camp. I like to hike. I like to fish. I just like to travel, and I try to do those things, you know, try to keep myself learning and seeing something new all the time.
Is there anything you would change about your job?
Anything I would change about my job? You know, particularly my job wouldn't change. The things I would like to do would be able to have a situation where we were able to, you know, provide more, newer equipment at a constant rate. Because this field changes so often, you know, you have to keep up. You have to keep up. And so I think that would be the only thing I wish there was a better budgetary plan throughout the university system to keep everything upgraded and moving on all the time instead of, you know, waiting a few years till we got something, then get something, and waiting a few years. If we had a system that we kept the upgrading going at a continuous pace, I'd rather see that. But, you know, you do with what work with what you have.
For sure, for sure. So I want to talk about the pandemic.
Okay.
How did it affect your job?
It was awful for the students who had television field production, nonlinear editing, and, of course, the live broadcast classes because they couldn't do them. Okay. And basically they wrote papers. So those people – and, you know, it really showed up when the people from, like, television field production showed up in the nonlinear editing class, which is the advanced editing course. And, you know, we tried what we could to do Zoom-wise, but basically when they got into that course, I had to teach them the stuff that from the course they missed in the first place to be able to do the other course. So, yeah, really hurt that. And then knocked some shows off there. I mean, Noise Violation had been on for 15 consecutive seasons, and we didn't have it. And that's the show where we bring live bands up because, you know, we couldn't have people on campus. So it knocked the news off the air. And it had been on for – we've had new shows on ever since – 1991, I think, every semester, and it knocked it off, you know, so it knocked, but, you know, so that's how it really affected that. We lost, I feel it was almost like a lost year. We tried what we could. I tried to, you know, get the information out there, but you know, there's so much hands-on that you have to do in this field. It really made it hard for those students.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, like, you know, a lot of stuff we do is hands-on, and when it's online, you can't do it. I mean, obviously, you just can't do it. It's crazy. Did you notice a big change whenever the mask mandate ended?
I think it's relaxing. It's a relaxed atmosphere around here a little bit, and that's nice. You know, there were students who'd never seen my face before.
Yeah, I have.
You know, and that's like, you know, they'd never seen what I look like. And I didn't know what some students looked like. In fact, I had a student walk in to do registration, and I had the student in two classes, and I didn't know who he was.
Wow.
And then I was like, wow, that's what you look like? I had no idea, because the person always wore a hat and wore a mask, and, you know, came in with no hat and no mask. I didn't know who he was. And you know, I've had him for two classes already. So, yeah, that was kind of interesting. I'm glad it's out now. You know, I got vaccinated, took my boosters, and because, you know, I'm older, I want to make sure that I keep myself best possibility to stay healthy. And I think that, you know, we're over the edge, but not out of the woods yet. Mm-hmm. We just need to keep up on that. At least they're having some success with people getting vaccinated, and that reduces the rate of being really sick. To say you won't get sick, but to say being really sick. And now they have that antiviral drug treatment for it now, and they're ramping up the numbers on that. So I think that, you know, we're probably getting close to really turning the corner here.
I totally agree. So to wrap up this interview, I have one more question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Are you still going to be here at West Liberty, or is that too far in the future to really make it?
I think that in reality, I probably have about 6 to 7 more years here.
Okay.
I've been here for 33 years. You know, I'm not quite 60 yet, so I'm not the oldest person on campus. There's only one professor who's been here longer than me on campus.
Really?
And that's Dr. Rhonda Noble. She came the year before I did. Other than that, there's no other professor who's been here longer than I have. So it's been quite a change to watch it go from a small college to a university and watch everybody that was here be gone, basically, yeah. Along the way. So yeah, I think that, you know, retirement, I am looking at it. Not immediately, but I would think somewhere around 6-7 years from now would be probably about the time.
Okay.
So probably 2 more cycles of Chris Lee before I'm gone.
There you go. I'm sure they'll miss you here for sure, definitely. Well, I want to tell you, I appreciate you coming in so much. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Matt, for giving me the opportunity to speak here on WGLZ. Remember, WGLZ, it's the size. It's not the size that matters. It's the frequency.
Right on. I appreciate it. I'll see you. Thank you. All right, we just conclude our interview with Professor Chris Lee here on WGLZ. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal. Let's get back to music.